You're listening to the Hill City Teaching Podcast, a recording of the Sunday morning service at Hill City Church. We would love to have you join us in person. More information can be found at www.hillcity.church.
Awesome. Let me pray for us and we'll dive into this series of Pentecost. Father God, we just praise your name, God, for how glorious you are. And God, as I was talking with you this morning and just being reminded that, you know, you command us to praise you and worship you because you are glorious. But you don't do it because you're an insecure God. You don't do it because you need to be reminded that you are holy and that you are good. You know who you are. But you command us to do these things to remind us of how holy and how good you are. God, as we gather together as your body and we approach your throne through communion, God, and we listen to the Spirit speak to our hearts as we read your word, God, you move and you speak to us. But as I was praying for our congregation this morning, the thing you reminded me of, God, is when James warns believers that don't be like a man that looks in the mirror and then walks away and forgets what he looks like. God, all too often, you speak to our hearts in these sacred places. God, that you give us a next step, or you show us what we need to push through, or God, you show us the places we need to lean in with you on, or you call us to take new action, or call us to go ask for forgiveness in relationship, God, and yet we walk away from here and we forget. And then we forget another week and we forget another week. God, don't let us be forgetful people. God, because of your glory, because of your holiness, God, let us be quick to respond, quick to do what you're asking us to do, so we can see the fruit of walking with you, that we don't get stuck, God, in places that you're asking us to push through. We love you, Lord Jesus. We ask that you speak in this place today. Spirit, dwell here. Amen. So if you weren't here last week, we started this series called Pentecost. And as we lead up to Pentecost here in a few weeks, we'll celebrate that as a church family. But as we lead up to it, we're celebrating and really learning what is Pentecost about as the Spirit, or as Noah said this morning, the Comforter has come to help us. And what does it look like to engage with the Spirit? We call him the Holy Spirit. He's the third part of the Trinity. He's someone to interact with. He's someone to know, as we ended with last week. And this week, we're going to continue with our lives as we look at how do we interact with the Spirit and how do we live in the Spirit and how do we walk in the Spirit in all different aspects of our lives. What does that look like to actually be in the Spirit? If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5 today. As we look at this idea of being in the Spirit, and in multiple ways throughout the apostles' writing, throughout even Jesus' words, he talks about our role in our relationship with the Spirit. We're supposed to pray with the Spirit. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit. We're supposed to let the Spirit convict us so we can deal with the sin of our lives. Over and over again, this is a key element of in the Spirit that we're supposed to walk. Oftentimes, we let the Holy Spirit be this God off in a distance. He's the person of the Trinity that, yeah, we know he exists. We hear about him from time to time. And we know he plays a role in how we interact with God and with Jesus. But oftentimes, he's not that distant God that we interact with. But the reality is, he's here and he's present. He's the one that dwells in you. He's the one that speaks to your soul, and your soul speaks to him. But we try to go through this life without the work of God in our lives. We try to do it on our own. And that's really what Paul's talking about here with the Galatians. But let's look at these words as we look at what it means to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to read through it, and then we'll go back through it together and pull things out. It says this, starting with verse 16 of chapter 5, towards the end of his letter to the Galatians. He says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other. So that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissent, and factions, envy and drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. They're all in there, I promise. Each of these things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep with step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. There's a lot in there. A lot of different things back and forth. But let's look back at those first handful of verses here. Verse 16, so I say, I walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. There is this tension that lives inside of us. There's this tension to walk with Jesus through the Spirit, or to live in what I want and in my desires and in the flesh. Paul continues in verse 17, and this one's hard for us. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. I like to do whatever I want. I like to be able to live this life the way that I want to live it. And then I kind of sprinkle God in here and there. But I want to be in control of what's important. I want to set my priorities. I want to dream my dream. I want what I want when I want it. It's the American condition. But that isn't the life of Christ. That isn't what it looks like to walk in the Spirit. Those two things can't live in the same place. And I think oftentimes for many of us, we get stuck in these cycles where I'm picking my own ways and my own wants over what God desires of me. And then I wonder, where is God? God, why aren't you showing up in this situation? Why aren't you dealing with this junk? God, why is it always the same way? I always end back up in the same place, full of anxiety, full of fear, exhausted and angry. And the Spirit's simply saying, because you keep trying to do it your way. Because you think you're smarter than me. Because you think you've got this figured out. And you believe these lies of, oh, God will understand. He knows where I am right now. Here's the reality. And as you walk with Jesus, this reality becomes more and more true. You are much worse than you think you are. You just are. You're a sinner at your core. You're selfish and you're self-seeking. And the longer I walk with Jesus, the more I realize that about myself. But here's the second part of that. God's grace is greater. Though I am a sinner, and though I am extremely selfish, God's grace is greater. And here's the thing about God's grace. It's not just for the forgiveness of those actions, those beliefs, and those priorities. It's also grace to overcome those things. It's also a grace to have a path out, to figure out how to do it God's way, to live by the Spirit rather than by our flesh. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What was the law? The commandments, right? So I don't have to follow the commandments anymore. No, that's not really what Paul's trying to get across. The commandment's still alive. They're truth. But what he's trying to get at is it's no longer up to you what you can do. You don't live under the law anymore because you're a follower of Christ. You can follow Christ through these places. But following Christ doesn't mean I get to continue to sit in my sin. God's grace is greater. He wants more for you. But there's things that God has been asking you to do. Maybe it's you got to show up. You got to be in the places and where God is working. You got to show up in the morning and spend time with him in relationship. You got to be in community groups. You got to start serving the things that God has asked you to serve. You have to have that conversation with a coworker that God has been prompting you for forever. It's that sin that you need to talk about that you don't want to deal with. There's all these different aspects that could be our next steps. And oftentimes, we choose flesh. We have emotional moments with God where we're like, God, that's exactly it. That's what I need to do. I need to take that next step of obedience. I need to do this thing that you're asking me to do. And then an hour goes by and I forget about it. And then the cycle starts over and I'm right back where I was and I'm asking God, where are you? And he's like, right where you left me. I'm right here. I've asked you to do something. You want freedom. I'm trying to give it to you, but you're not taking it. God will let you live this life any way that you want to live it. That's the reality. Very rarely does he intervene on our will. Now he does it, but not often. But you want the full life. You want a life of adventure. You want your life to matter. You want to have an impact. You don't want to deal with this same junk over and over and over again. You want to actually find freedom that is actually found in the gospel. You got to follow his lead. If God asks you to do something, don't let it be a fleeting thought. Write it everywhere and anywhere you possibly can so you're constantly reminded of what God is desiring for you. This is us walking in the Spirit. Oftentimes, we try to credit walking in the Spirit as like highly emotional moments, right? It's those moments in maybe worship when music is being played and music has a tendency to do something to our hearts that pulls regardless of it's Christian or not. And we're always looking for that. I want this emotional in the Spirit moment. And I'm not saying God's Spirit doesn't show up in those places, but oftentimes being in the Spirit is often in the mundane of life. It's not these grand moments, it's in the whisper. It's not in these moments where we're like, oh God, this is crazy. Everything is changing. Look at all the work that you're doing. I just want to sit in this place. I just feel your presence so thick. Oftentimes it's sitting alone in your prayers, asking God for guidance. Oftentimes it's in a conversation with a friend as the Spirit speaks. Oftentimes it's in the mundane. We want to chase being in the Spirit. We want to fight against the desires of our flesh. And we find ourselves in this place where the flesh is winning. This is what it looks like. Verse 19. The acts of flesh are obvious. I wish they were. Some of them are. If you're in orgies, sexual morality, sure, yeah, witchcraft, pretty obvious. But some of these others are a little bit hidden. And the enemy's really good at deceiving you. Over and over again, the gospel writers talk about, and the epistles talk about this idea of hardened hearts. Don't let your heart get hardened. This is what happens. Our hearts get hardened. These things become normal. Sexual morality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry. I think idolatry is a lot larger in our churches than we realize. Sure, we're not building physical idols, and we're not laying down before them, but there is plenty of things in our lives that we put before God, and that is idolatry. God is seated on his throne, and anything that tries to take that from him and that authority is idolatry. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, and factions. When we read these things, if your heart doesn't go to the place of God, I'm a sinful being because I participated. I've let the flesh win. You're struggling to be in the Spirit because the Spirit convicts. There's a hard place in your heart that needs to get dealt with. And oftentimes, hard places in our heart are hard to find. This is why community becomes so important, and permission for that community to speak into our lives matters. Right, if you're a part of one of our community groups, we go over community guidelines on a pretty regular basis. What are some of those guidelines? Don't fix, don't rescue. We ask you not to speak into people's lives because we don't want you to overpower them from continuing to speak about their lives. So that means as a community member, I have to ask people permission to speak into my life. Or give, sorry, permission. Because we've built a community where we don't want to push into places if they're not asking to be pushed into. So you've got to ask people to push into them. So the question becomes, what am I not seeing? What are my blind spots? And that might not be in a community group. Maybe it's there's a trusted friend that loves Jesus and loves you in that order, and you bring them out for coffee or go get drinks and just ask them to speak into your heart. Where are my blind spots? What am I missing? My guess is they're going to have an answer. And if they don't, spend some time praying and talking to Jesus and let him speak into those places. And he will give an answer. Why? Because there's so many aspects of our lives that we're still in the flesh. There's still so many aspects of our lives that we're letting the flesh win in those places rather than letting the Spirit be the place that I dwell. But a lot of these, hatred, discord, jealousy, these aren't in the surface. These are heart issues. Often they're not necessarily, evident right in front of us or obvious right before us. They're the little things, the way how I look at somebody or interact with a person, that I may be jealous towards them. And these are deadly sins to relationship. These cause harm, not just our relationship with God because we've sinned against him, but our relationship with others. Selfish ambition. Like, come on. We're all on this boat. Right? We all want it the way that we want it. What did Paul say earlier? So that you are not to do whatever you want. The opposite of it. Dying to self is a difficult process. Dying to self is painful in a lot of ways because there's a part of ourself that is dying. But it's on the other side of that where freedom is found. We get a walk with Jesus, walk in the Spirit, that we get to see the fullness that life could be. Do you want a life where anxiety doesn't win every day? It's dying to self. It's pushing away the flesh and leaning into the Spirit so we can deal with that junk and following his lead. Oftentimes we try to do it on our own, right? We see a list like this, and I said, I just have to white knuckle it enough and fight hard enough, and I can overcome. I've tried it. It doesn't work. Christ is clear. I have no power over sin without Jesus. But when I start to let him lead that process, I start to spend time with him and be with him in the Spirit, he starts to speak to things. And then I have a choice. Do I want to talk with God about these painful aspects of my life or these painful parts of who I am? Or do I want to kind of shove them away because it's too hard? And then the next thing comes up, or the next fork in the road shows up. Walking in the Spirit means I choose Christ over choosing what I want, even if it's hard. Rejecting these things and chasing after Jesus things. So he can change my heart and my behavior after my heart changes. But all too often for Christianity, we flip those. If I change my behavior, then my heart will change. And Jesus is like, what, are you crazy? That's not how it works. Your heart changes first before your behavior. And when we get those things out of whack, then we get tired, exhausted, burnt out on Christianity. This is too hard. It is by yourself. This is why we walk with Jesus. This is why we try to spend time with Jesus. This is why we make sure we are sitting in the Spirit with Jesus. How do we know we're doing it? How do we know we're walking in the Spirit? How do we know we're abiding in relationship with Jesus in the Spirit? How do we know that these are the things of my heart? Here it is, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of being around Jesus, the fruit of walking in the Spirit are these things: love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We talk about this, I think, in 101, that it's this good barometer for us to be able to look back at our lives and say, am I more of these things? And if I'm more of these things, then how I'm fostering a relationship with Jesus and abiding in the Spirit is working. I'm doing the right things. But if I'm not more of these things, then there's a good chance I'm not walking with Jesus in the Spirit. I've lied to myself somewhere along the way. I thought church attendance was enough. I thought if I pray before my meals, that's enough. I'm not saying those are bad things or wrong things, but those things don't necessarily lead to relationship if relationship's not your goal. I can read my Bible every morning. I can go chapter by chapter and look in, and other Christians will look at me and say, man, that guy is dedicated to Christianity and to Christ. He reads his Bible every day. But if you read your Bible every day without relationship with Jesus, what's the point? Jesus didn't say he wants good people that do the right things. He wants you. He wants your heart. And walking in the Spirit means we give him our hearts, that we choose relationship, that we fight for these things because they matter. And these aspects, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, these aren't things that we try to work towards. This is just fruit. I'm working on other things to produce this fruit, fostering relationship with Jesus. Right? I water the plant, but I don't build the apple myself, right? The tree does that work. I just put into what the tree needs, and the tree would be our relationship. Jesus would be the grower. So when I'm spending time with Jesus and I'm living in the Spirit in these places, these are the fruits that come out of it. Now, these fruits aren't things that we look at individually. God, I just want to be more loving. I want to be more patient, God. Right? I used to hear this all the time. That's the worst prayer to pray. God, I want to be more patient because God's going to give you opportunity to be patient. And that's not necessarily not true. But the fruit of the Spirit is all of these things. That they all become true over a course of time. It's not just that love grows here and then patience grows here. No, they all grow at the same pace. And I say this because I think it's important, because I think we can lie to ourselves. We can pick one thing out of that list and say, man, I am such a patient person. And maybe you are. But just because you're patient doesn't mean you're walking with Jesus and you're seeing the fruit of being with the Spirit. Maybe you're just a patient, like, person. It's just how you were created. But do I see the entirety of these increasing? Do I see all of these more and more in my life? That should be the question. So if you're already starting here with patience and you need to grow in love, they should both be growing. It's not like patience is just going to chill out here until my love catches up. They all grow in unison. And this is an important step to see if what we're doing to foster relationship and be in the Spirit with Jesus is working. Are these things more true of my life? And if they're not all true of your life, there's a good chance none of them are more true of your life. But the longer I walk with Jesus, the longer I believe these all to be true, because I've seen them in my own life. I see more peace and patience. I see more kindness and faithfulness. I also see how much further I need to go. But year after year, it's a good gut check. It's a good to look back. Is this working? Or have I allowed these disciplines that I'm doing to become the task and the accomplishment rather than the relationship that was the goal in the first place? Sure, I may still be reading my Bible every day, but is it leading to conversation with Jesus? Sure, I'm reading my Bible every day and I'm praying every day, but my behavior, and when Jesus asks me to do something, I'm not saying yes. I'm saying it's too hard, Jesus, you don't understand. I'm saying it's too difficult, I don't want to dig into this, Jesus. Or, Jesus, this is too painful of a story, I don't want to talk about. And the thing with this tension is oftentimes that we could be seeing all this fruit in our lives, and then for whatever reason, it just stops. Well, for that whatever reason, oftentimes it's a thing that Jesus asked us to do, and we're telling him no. Hey, I want you to talk through this story. It could be something that simple. Or it could be, hey, I want you to go talk to this person. Hey, I want you to go do your part in trying to restore this relationship. Hey, I want you to forgive this individual. And we're saying, nah, sorry, Jesus. And that's that tension of the flesh. The flesh is winning. We're not trying to build moral Christians here. We're trying to build disciples of Jesus that know Jesus and follow Jesus. We can know of Jesus without knowing Jesus. But we can also know Jesus and not follow him. We can think we know best. We know better. And we can listen to the lies of the enemy and let him win. Let people come into those places of stronghold and speak truth. In Romans 8, Paul tells the Romans to put to death the deeds of the body and the spirit. He says it this way, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the flesh, you will put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live. Did he say, you take care of all your sin on yourself by yourself? It's your problem. Figure it out. Clean yourself up before you show up to God. No, he says, by the Spirit, you will put to death the misdeeds of your life. Let the Spirit lead. There are, in 1 Corinthians, Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, he says, confess Jesus is Lord. Therefore, I want you to know that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God would say, Jesus be cursed. And no one can also say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Spirit. Your ability to know that God is, that Jesus was God, that he died and rose again, was only by a gift of the Spirit. In John 4, Jesus says it this way, God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in Spirit and in truth. We worship in the Spirit. Later on in Paul's letter, first letter to the church in Corinth, he says, otherwise, when you praise God in spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer, or yeah, whatever that word is, say amen to your thanksgiving? Since they do not know what you're saying, we give thanks in the spirit. To thank God for what he has done, to thank God for who he is done in the Spirit. And lastly, Paul's letter to the Galatians, he says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may be also tempted. It's the Spirit that does all this work. But it's often the spirit that we neglect to try to do it by our flesh. We wonder why God's not using us. Oftentimes because we're trying to do it ourselves. We wonder why we're still stuck in these places, these same cycles. It's the same thing over and over again. Oftentimes because I'm not walking in the spirit, I'm letting the flesh win. I'm letting the lies of the enemy win. And in those times, if you can't see it, you don't know what the clear next step is, talk to someone that loves Jesus and loves you in that order. And let them, by the Spirit, speak truth into your life. Let me pray over you. Holy Spirit, for those that know you as, know Jesus as Lord, and have confessed with their mouth that he's Lord and believe in their hearts that he died and rose again, God, in this moment, would you let your Spirit dwell in them? Fill us, Holy Spirit. God, in the clear next steps that you've given us today, first off, thank you, Spirit. Thank you for speaking. God, thank you for giving clarity to what we need to do next. But God, when we leave this place, convict our hearts if we don't do it. Spirit, convict our hearts if we let too much time pass by when you've asked us to follow you. And we've chose flesh and said no. God, we want to know you intimately. And we want to be known by you intimately. We know that comes through your Spirit. That comes with being with you and spending time with you and thinking about your things. God, don't let us be people. Convict us when we go down these roads. God, to be people that want to live our life our way and just ask you to sprinkle in some blessing. Show up when things get hard. God, what an evil, horrible way to live. It should all be about you. Every moment of every day, God, should be about you. All of my thoughts and my actions, God, they should be about you. Jesus went to the cross for it. Jesus saved my soul for it. God, build that trust in us so we can trust you for the other side of it. So we go through the hard, difficult seasons where we have to let part of ourselves die and then we have to stop allowing the enemy to win, God, that we have courage in those moments to take those steps, God, but we have trust in you that on the other side, we will see the glory of your kingdom in our lives. Where the enemy doesn't get to win. Where the lies have no place. Where the anxiety doesn't exist. God, for the place of our life that we're still trying to control, Spirit, convict us. Spirit, make it difficult on us. Not because you hate us, not because you're angry with us, but you know what's best for us. God, we look at our world today, we look at our lives today, and it feels like the enemy's winning. God, let Hill City be the place where we say enough is enough. The enemy gets no ground, and we're taking it back. God, that work's not done in the physical, it's done in the spiritual. It's done with our prayers as we spend time with you, begging you to intervene in our lives and the lives around us. But God, for some of us in this room, we don't know the last time we actually talked with you. God, convict us. Spirit, show us the better way. But if we don't know you and we don't follow you, God, we're lying to ourselves that we're Christians, that we're little Christs. And for some of us in the room today, that's a realization that's going to wreck us. But God, you are there. Your Spirit is speaking. Your Spirit is comforting. And He is guiding. He is reminding us of our salvation that is found in Christ Jesus alone. Spirit, give us clarity of next step. Show us what to do. Bring community around us to encourage us and to hold us accountable. Don't let us be people that tune out your voice, God. Father God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And keep us from the enemy and his schemes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done on the cross. Thank you, Spirit, for speaking today. And God the Father, we give you glory as you are holy and none like you, as you are seated on your throne. God, be seated on the thrones of our lives as well. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Hill City Teaching Podcast. We hope it was helpful to you to become a more devoted disciple of Jesus. More information can be found at www.hillcity.church.